Sforno Parsha Shmos. So the Sforno begins with the Hakdama to the whole Sefer Shmos, that Klal Yisrael started going south when they were in Mitzrayim. The future generations, after the generation of the Shvatim, their Ruchnius level started going down until the level, like it says in Yecheskel, this is, you know, for any learning of the Sefer Shmos, it is important to look up this pasuk in Yecheskel that talks about the status of the Jews when they were in Mitzrayim. And it says, Vayam Rubi, is Ben Yecheskel per Kaf, Pasuk Ches, Vayam Rubi, Lo Avulishmo Eli, that the Jews in Mitzrayim rebelled against Hashem, Isha Shikutse Neim, Lo Shlichov, Eskalili Mitzrayim, Lo Azavu, that they worshipped Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim, Omer Lishpo Hamasi Aleim, and I was going to destroy them, Lachalos Api Behem Bezoch Eretz Mitzrayim, to destroy them all in Eretz Mitzrayim, until they Davin Tashem to be saved. We know, everyone knows they left on the 49th level of Tumah. But anyway, so when they, because they had sinned and worshipped Avodah Zarah, therefore they were made into Avodim. I always say it's important to know. We know the Jews were in Mitzrayim, there was Exerah and Avram and the Brishpin Absarm, that they would be in Golos. But you know, nothing's in a vacuum. There's a lot of Cheshbonos to everything that happens. They, you know, the people who actually were slaves in Mitzrayim and had to deal with Avodah Zarah, what they do wrong? Well, it says here what they did wrong. They were worshiping Avodah Zarah. Yeah, but there was Exera that they had to be there. It's all together. All, you know, there's a lot of things that come together to make up what happens. One of the things was that they were supposed to be in Golos. Okay, but how would they be in Golos and what the story would be? So it's because they sinned with Avodah Zarah, so therefore they had an Avodah Zarah. That's what the Sfarno says, anyway, that's because of that. And also that when they were at a high level, then Hashem spoke to them panim b'panim, like he did at Har Sinai. But they sinned again, and Hashem removed the Shekhinah. But went with the rebuilding of the Mishkan, so then the Shekhinah came back. Okay, that's his introduction. And the parsha begins with Eila Shmos on Hashem. These are the people, the names of the people that came down to Mitzrayim. So the Sforno says these are the people who it's deserved to mention them because they were tzaddikim, and each one should have been mentioned on their own. But the people that came in further generations, they weren't kedai to mention on their own because they were not such great tzaddikim. Meaning to say, even the ones that were tzaddikim, they weren't as chashuv as these people. Okay, and it says, so then that whole generation dies, and it says, B'nei Yisrael parah v'yishrutzu v'yir b'v'yasmi b'mon b'od v'atimalei aretz osam. So, the Sforno says something incredible here. The whole previous generation that was tzaddikim died, okay, and then it says a sloshen v'yishrutzu. So he picks up on that. It doesn't sound necessarily like the nicest way of talking. You know, Lashritz comes from the word sharetz, like to have a lot of people like sharetz, that's not the nicest word. And you find in other places when it talks about how many Jews there were, it never uses that word, Lashon Vayishutu. They're Rava Tzumimeno, or as when they cause them pain, Ken Yerbev, Achen Yerfotz. You don't find this Lashon Vayishutu, so the Sforno picks up on this and says that Natu L'Darche Shrotim. That's why he uses that Lashon, because they were not doing good at that time. They were doing Averos. It's a double play. I mean, this is his play on words, I think. But he says, after the 70 died, so they went to Darche Shratim, Sherotim Lever Shachas. And therefore, that's why the next pasuk says, Vayekam El Chadash Al Mitzrayim. So that's the door died. They had tons of kids. But they were also Vayishutu, they also lowered themselves, they were becoming like Shratim. And therefore, a new Melech Hadash came that didn't know, you know, that caused them, put them in Shibud. Okay. Now, just this Sforno points out, this Vayekam El Chadash, Ashallah Yodah, is Yosef, it cannot be. I don't care, you know, Yosef was dead a while, okay. And then they had lots of kids. Eventually some new king comes. So it doesn't mean that he came right away. They were in, you know, in Sheba for a while. So it was some new king came. Okay, but it's still impossible that nobody heard of Yosef. I mean, there was a, you know, it was a huge deal. Impossible that the king of Mitzrayim never heard of Yosef. The Sforno suggests you may have heard of him, but he probably just, you know, after a little while you could start fudging the details, and he probably said, yeah, of course, he was a great man, Yosef. No, he wasn't really Jewish, come on, he wasn't part of these nations. These are low-class people, he was not really Jewish. So, it didn't mean that he didn't know him, but it was, he didn't know that he was Jewish, or he refused to believe that he was Jewish. Or another way of saying that was, since he was anti-Semitic, we'll call him, Pyro hated the Jews, it could not be that a legend in Mitzrayim like Yosef came from him, so therefore he didn't come from him. He wasn't related, and that was it. Okay, so why does Pyro hate them? Now we have a little bit of psychology over here. The Sforno says, in that pasuk, Havan is chak malo, so it says, Kipaya kisikrenam nachamav, nasaf kamhol seninuva, and the Alaminarets. So, when, Milchama will come, they will, kick us out. When, anyone attacks Mitzrayim, the Jews will join with our enemy and kick us out. So the Sforno says, just an interesting line, he says, Ki biyosem nivdala mimeno bamilu balashin b'deas ivrim, the fact that they were, that the Yidden are different from us, that they have a bris milah and they speak a different language, and they have their own hashkafas. So, in that, the Mitzrayim couldn't eat with the Jews, right? Because the Jews would eat from the lambs, and they wouldn't. So, obviously they're our enemy. Obviously they're our enemy. And as soon as the war comes, you'll see that they hate us. Which is an unbelievable thing. You know, it's not limited to that, as we all learned from, Nazi Germany. Even all the assimilated people over there, you could look just like a German, didn't bother us, because Hashem does run this world. But anyway, I guess that was the way it happened then. That's the way it often happens. They say, oh, if they're totally different than us, they must hate us. So therefore they're going to be our enemy. Okay, so the Mitzrim decided to put on them a great shibud. And why did they want to put a great shibud on them? Laman anoso besivlosam. What's laman anoso? Ready for this? The Sforno says, so that they should leave. The point was emigration. You were trying to cause emigration. That's his words. He gave them, made their lives miserable in an attempt to convince them to get out. So, I don't know if that thing is stuck. We know at the end from Chazal that no one was able to leave. But, again, this is, you know, in recent history with what happened in the World War II, this whole story, the whole parsha of Shmos is just reading out of the old playbook, what Hitler, Yimach Shemo, did, the slow enslavement until you get to killing. It wasn't exactly that way, but there was a lot in the same playbook, and this is one of those, an attempt for emigration to force them to leave, and eventually maybe not allowing that after a while. Okay, anyway, it says then, Vayavidu es b'nei Yisrael b'farach, that in their heads, in the Mitzrim's heads, when they saw the Jews doing, being mevaz themselves for this low work that they were being asked to do, so then the Mitzrim made them, all the Mitzrim made them avodim. So in other words, first the difficult work they were given, the Jews accepted upon themselves as a tax. That's what he said in the previous pasuk. But it was really trying to get, again, the Mitzrim's intention was to get them to emigrate. But the Jews accepted it on them as a tax. But then when the Mitzrim saw that they were being mevazed themselves for this, the low work, so they made them into real avodim. And there, Sforno says on that, but really, this is amazing, right? That's the psychology of the Mitzrim, but really, says the Sforno, what was going on behind the scenes, meaning upstairs, is that because the Jews continued to sin, and they got to lower levels, therefore their plight became worse. And then the next pasuk, Vayomar Eschayim, it kept getting worse. Okay, anyway, this doesn't stop them from having a zillion kids, so Paro tries to get the Mialdos involved. And the Mialdos obviously do not listen to him, but obviously, but they do not listen to him, and he calls them in, and their excuse is, well, as soon as we get there, they really know how to have kids without us, and we get there, and they already had the kid. So, besides them saying that they were Bikin, and we won't be able to, so the Sforno adds on, and we'll only be able to kill one or two of them, and then, it's not good for you, a king, to have to just kill one or two, so we don't kill anybody. Because there's no point, it's not going to work. Okay, Then we have Moshe's born, and Batireo Kitov. Everybody saw that Moshe was good. So the Sforno says he was unusually beautiful, or lighted up the room in a way that the mother knew that this means it's a special boy. Okay, and then she puts him in the Red Sea to hide him. Okay, but the Sforno had something else. It wasn't just like that, because it was to be Yotze the Gzera, because there was a Gzera that the Jewish children were being thrown into the river. So she hoped to be Yotze that Gzera by putting Moshe in the river, and of course safely in the river, but in the river so that Gzera should be like check, and therefore Moshe could survive. Okay, then Miriam stays by to see what's going to happen to this kid, because she's hoping that some Mitzri will take pity on the kid and take him in, because all kind of Mitzris had kids at home that people didn't know what they were doing there, because the whole Mitzrayim was full of Zima. So all kids had, there were Asufis, kids without Yichas all over the place. So she hoped that someone would have pity on him and take him in and not be embarrassed, because everybody has kids that nobody knows who the father is show up in their house. Either parent. Anyway, okay, she goes to wash by the sea. So the Sforno just says, of course, that means in the king's palace she did this. It was near the Or. There's no way she went herself. Okay, anyway, Bas Paro finds him, and she decides to name him Moshe. Why is his name Moshe? Now she says, Kimina Mayim Mishisiu, so that he should have been Moshui or something. The Sforno says he was named Moshe because he will be Moshe others. He will save others. Which is amazing, right? He'll save other people. And it sounds like she understood by the fact that she saved him from the Nile that he would save others. Like it was almost kind of simon. Okay, then we have Moshe sees the Dasan and Avirim hitting each other, and he says, Rasha, Alam, Asakir, Echa, and they respond back to him, I'm going to kill me like you killed the Mitzri. And he says, Oh, Achim no dahadavar. What did that mean? Rashi says, now I know why Klai Yisrael are in Golas, because they speak Lashon Hara. This is the Ramban, the Sforno. Sforno says something else. He says, there's no point in killing you. Why? In other words, remember like you killed the Mitzri? Well, there's no point in killing you because Achein no dahadavar. You already told everybody that I killed the Mitzri. So there's no point in killing you. Had this been a private act, meaning if it was just me, you, and Dasan Avir, because apparently, according to this Sforno, they were standing around a million people. So, Dasan and, or whichever one announced that Moshe was killed the Mitzri, and it was around a bunch of other people. So, now there's no point in killing Dasan or Aviram because he's already been told on. But let's say it had been in private and nobody had heard it. It was just Dasan and Aviram saying, "Oh, la'kinia to Omer," and they would they were going to tell the police about what Moshe did. Then it would be mutter to kill them because then they have a din of a moser. Okay, we're not getting into the details of practical halacha, when, how, and what. Okay, someone who is classified as a moser, you're allowed to kill them to stop them from doing it. So, but I'm not going to kill you, says Moshe, because achin no da'adav. It's already known, so there's no point. But if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Chovel Mazik, Parak Ches Halacha Yud, he says it's mutter to kill a moser, even bisman hazeh, that we're not doing din in the fashos. As long as he has not yet been Moser yet, that's the Rambam says. So see that here. Okay, then we have that Melech Mitzrayim dies. Payamas Melech Mitzrayim. And Moshe, as Hakar Satov to Hashem, that he was safe, he called his son Eliezer, because he knew that Hashem had saved him, because Pyro was never going to come get him, because he was dead. Okay, then we have a lot of Lashonas of them davening to Hashem, and Hashem hearing them. So, it's in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf Gimel. It says that, again, Melech Mitzrayim died. Vayi'anchu min avoda, vayizaku, they cried out to Hashem, batal shabbos, and went up, elokim min avoda. So there was a crying out, and their tefillah went up to Hashem because of the avoda. Then, vayish melekim es na'akasim, then he heard this other lashon of na'akasim, another type of tefillah. And then it says, Vayizkor lakim es bris, Hashem remembered his bris. And then finally you have, Vayar lakim es b'nei Yisrael, Hashem saw, Vayeda and Hashem knew. All kinds of different lashonos. So the Sforno explains it all. The first type of tefillah seems like just regular Klal Yisrael's tefillah. But Hashem listened, at least Vatal Shavasim Lakim Min Havoda. Min Havoda means because it was not because Klal Yisrael had done tshuva, but just because Hashem was taking the kama from the evil people. They had no right to do what they did, the horrible things they did to the Jews, so that's one thing. Min Havoda, so their davening came to Hashem because of the achzorius of the cruelty of the Mitzrim. Then you have Hashem heard Na'akasim. This is interesting that Sfarno says it means Hashem heard this is the tzaddikim. Na'akasim refers specifically to a small group of Klal Yisrael, the tzaddiki Hador. They daven, Hashem heard that. And then by Yisker Espriso, that he says Hashem will always do when we daven to him, remember his bris with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Then Vayar Lakim means Hashem stopped hiding his face and his Hashgacha Pratis and now was now going to do something about what was happening then. Vayed Elokim, and Hashem knew. So the Sfarno says that means Hashem knew that the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael in general were b'chol lev. They were a full heart, and therefore Hashem would come and save them, and their tefillahs were accepted. Okay, now we have the famous story with the burning bush. So it says, Vayavo el Har Elokim Chareva Moshe, he was shepherding a sheep, and he came to Har Elokim. Why did he come to Har Elokim? Says the Sfarno, to be mizbodeh, to daven, to be by himself, away from things, and daven to Hashem. Interesting. And he sees a Malach Elokim. So the Sfarno says something interesting, that Vayera means it was a nevuah. If it would just say Vayar, that would mean he saw, that would mean sometimes Malachim can appear as people. And then, presumably anybody could see them. And there's no, it's not a nevuah. He's seeing, his eyes are seeing people. Vayera means in Nevuah. That means in Nevuah he saw Malach Hashem. When Avram saw the Malachim, and Lot, and Bilam, and they see a Malach, that's, it won't say Vayera, it says Vayar. Vayera is only for Nevuah. And he tells Moshe that Hashem, that Paro will not let, the Jews go. And this is in Pasuk Yitesh, Ki lo yitein eschem. Parakim and Pasuk Yitesh, Hashem will not let you, Paro will not let you. Ki lo yitein eschem melech Mitzrayim lahaloch, velo biyad chazakas. That's a little hard Pasuk to read. So Rashi has some kolomars, nifr mefarshim. How do you read that? Paro will not let you leave, and not biyad chazaka. What does that mean? So Rashi first says it means, Paro won't let you leave, and until I show him my yad chazaka. Okay, obviously that doesn't read so well. Anyway, he has another chat. So the Sfarno's chat is, Paro won't let you leave on his own. And then when I make the Makos very terrible, and if he's had a bunch of Makos, I'm going to make it that he doesn't let you leave Biyad Chazaka, meaning my Yad Chazaka, which is going to be on Paro, me Hashem's Yad Chazaka, that will be on Paro, which will make him want him to send the Jews away, say, after five Makos. Hashem's not going to let him. Hashem's going to be mechazik his heart, strengthen his heart, so he won't want to let the Jews go. So that's how you read it. Lo yitein eschem melech Mitzrayim lahaloch. He won't let you go on his own. And then, velo biyad chazaka. And not even when there's a yad chazaka. Because I'm going to harden his heart. So even when there's a yad chazaka against him, he won't let you. Okay, then he says an amazing thing. The whole shiur just for this is worth it. Oh, there's another good one. They're all good. But anyway, this one says, when you tell them it's Mitzrayim. You remember they're going to, borrow from the Mitzrim all their stuff before they leave. It is a very famous question. From when you read the Psukim, it sounds like Bnei Yisrael borrowed, when they left Mitzrayim, all this money from the Egyptians, and they never returned it. So how can that be? Right here, this Sfarno says, you're going to borrow it. For real, borrow, which should mean you have to return. None of the Pshatim that you were getting paid back for all the work you did for all those hundreds of years. They borrowed it. They were chayiv to return it. Except, it sounds like they would have returned it, that's what it sounds like. Anyway, after they left Egypt, which they were supposed to go for 3 days, and then they were by the Yamsuf, so then the Mitzrayim, after those 3 days, chased after them. Again, it doesn't sound like they were planning on coming back. I don't know, maybe they'd have to send back the money eventually. This is what the Sfarno says. After the Mitzrayim chased after them, and then, what were the Mitzrayim trying to do there? Kill them all and take all the booty, not just what the Jews had taken, take everything from them. And then they died in war. And what happens when the enemy dies in war? You take their booty. So at the end of the day, they didn't have to return anything, because the meaning in all wars is when you kill the enemy, you take their booty, and kol shekein here, they were trying to do it to you. So certainly, media can I get media can do it back to them. So that's why they didn't need to return it. Again, the only thing that sounds hard to understand is that, so otherwise, had they not chased after them, they would have returned the money. I don't know. Maybe yes. I don't know, but that's his pshat here. Okay, then Moshe again says, please send somebody else. And again, it's in Pasuk Yud. This is Perek Daled Pasuk Yud. This is my understanding of what he's saying. He says two things. One is, Lo Yish Dvarim Anochi. I'm not a good speaker. That's the Lashon of the Sfarno is, Bilti Murgal B'mlechas Lashon Limudim. Mesidra, the Dabil of Neymalach. Sounds like he's not a professional speaker. He doesn't know how to speak perfectly. And, so I was never a good speaker. Plus, that's the Sfarno makes it. That's the plus. The reason I never even bothered to try to like improve my speaking skills is because I can't speak anyway because there's something wrong with his. He's a chvad peh. He couldn't speak well physically. So there's no point in learning how to use, I don't know, we'll call it in our words, fancy vocabulary. I never bothered learning how to speak in front of kings with fancy words and vocabulary. Because I can't speak anyway, because there's something wrong with his mouth. So both are negative. Two things. And then Hashem responds to him, Anuchi Eya Impicha, and Harisicha, as I shared the Dabbers, I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly right, but there's two parts. Anuchi Eya Impicha, that is, I'll make it that your mouth works, that the speech impediment won't be a problem. And Harisicha Loshen Limudim, I'll make it that you can speak well. Now, we know, really, that Aaron did all the speaking. So I'm not sure how that worked. But anyway, the Sfarno seems to be understanding that Moshe was cured. At least whenever, if he had to speak to Paro, he would be able to speak properly and there'd be no problem. Okay, then Moshe tells... Hashem tells Moshe, rather, to go and do what I told you in front of Paro. It says, Va'asisam lefnei Paro, and you will do what I said lefnei Paro. And the Sfarno adds, do what I say, as in, don't mess this up. I told you exactly what to do. Do exactly what I said. Don't do more, don't do less. Then it will work. Otherwise, it won't work. And he just gives a little Musar speech here, that it's a chet to do more or less. Because when Hashem gave us mitzvahs, they're very specific, and they only have the effect if you do it exactly as Hashem says. We have a thing of Baal Tosef, don't do less. Don't do more, don't do less, because... the mitzvahs are to be done exactly as Hashem wants. Also, sifu v'lo sigru. Don't do more, don't do less. Here's another interesting point. If I asked you, were the 10 makos a punishment against the mitzvah, or they were to show Hashem's power? What would the answer be? So I'll tell you what the Sfarno says the answer is. Hashem told Moshe to go tell Paro, set the Jews free, or I'll kill your firstborn. And don't forget the introduction to that. B'ni B'chor Yisrael, don't tell Paro. B'ni B'chor Yisrael, Yisrael's my firstborn. If you don't let them go, I'll kill your firstborn. Says the Sfarno, that was the Makkah that was an onish. The Makkah's B'choros was a straight up onish for what they did. Everything else was to show Hashem's power. Makkah's B'choros was punishment. Now, obviously, had the Paro let them go earlier, they wouldn't have been the 10 makos. But anyway, that's the last one is considered the onus, not the rest. Okay, here's another big one. This Perek Daled, Pasuk Chaf Daled. That's where Moshe meets, on the way to Egypt, he meets this malach that swallows him, or tries to swallow him, and because a bris milah wasn't done, so Tzipora quickly does the bris milah, right, that whole story. That says, Vahi baderech bamalon v'yifkesheu Hashem, and he met God. So, listen to this Sfarno. This is very important. Kara yom milas beno asher bo tishra shechina la'amud bebris. When a person does a bris, next time you make a bris for someone or buy a bris, the day that you make a bris, Hashem is there. That's what it means by v'kashe Hashem. It's supposed to be, the bris was supposed to be that day. So the shechina comes because a bris is between two parties, right? You and a God. So Hashem has to be by the bris. So the Shekhinah is by the bris. That's why Yifkesheu Hashem. And he says, and this is the big line, Ulai zos hisibas haminig lahachin kisei kavin b'makam amila. Maybe this is the reason why we have a special kisei by amila. It's for the other side to be there. Now, we know that's what we call kisei shel Eliyahu. And Eliyahu is called the malach habris. That is, Eliyahu is the shliach of Hashem. It's like if you send someone to sign the contract and you send your shliach. So, it's a bris between us and Hashem. So we do the bris, Hashem has to be there. So Hashem, so to speak, has Eliyahu come
as the Shliach of Hashem, the Malach HaBris, to be the Shliach Hashem. So that's why if Keshev Hashem, he met Hashem, because there has to be, the Shechina has to be there, because you have to have the other side be part of the Bris. And then, this is also interesting, she does the Bris Milah and says, Vayiref Mimenu. So Vayiref means he let go, the Malach wasn't as tight holding on to him. That means he didn't let go completely, because she only did the Milah. Then she did the Priya, the peeling back. So then, she said, it says, Vayiref Mimenu, Az Amra Chasam Damim Lamulos. There's two parts. There's the Damim Lamulos. So she did the Mila and the Priya, then he let go of Moshe completely. Okay. Moshe comes to Paro, and Paro says, Moshe says to Paro, that Hashem called to me, and Paro's response is, Lo Yadati Es Hashem. What does it mean, Lo Yadati Es Hashem? The Sfarno says, I don't know any Shem Hashem, meaning Yudke Vavke. Moshe told him the shame but Yudke Vavke, and Paro says, I don't understand any Yudke Vavke, meaning Paro can understand someone being in charge of this world, but that creator of the world, that nothing existed, and Hashem created the world out of nothing, I don't know such a thing. That's Yudke Vavke, it's Mahave, HaYehovet, right? He's Mahave the world, Hashem created the world, creates the world. That, Paro says, I don't get that. Never heard of such a thing. He, Paro, apparently was under the impression that the world always existed, which is, you know, what the philosophers used to hold. So I don't know that. V'gam is Yisrael lo ha-shaleach. And even if you say, even if it becomes true that there is such a thing, I'm still not sending the Jews. Okay. Okay, so then Paro says they're going to have to work much harder. Now who's going to beat them up? So we know how the system worked, right? They had, like the kapos, they had Jews working, and then they had the kapos on top of them who were Jews. And then they had the Mitzrim, who were like the Nazis. The Mitzrim's on top of the kapos, right? That kind of system. The Jews were supposed to beat up the Jews if they weren't working. And then if they didn't, so then the Mitzrim would beat up the managers, the people in charge. So they come to complain to Paro, and they say, Hine avadecha mukim. And this is how you read it, v'chatas amecha. So, I mean, the simple reading of it is, we are being hit, and we are sinning. But no, that's not how Sforno reads it. He said that it's talking about two groups. Hine avadecha mukim, we are being hit, v'chatas, and the sinners. Who are those? That's the kapos. He told this to Paro. The ones hitting us, those are the chatas. It's like, that's what they're called, the sinners. They beat us up, and so there's two people. We're getting beat, and v'chatas, all those are amecha. They're all your nation, meaning we, the Jewish people, we're your slaves, we're your servants. And avadecha mukim, v'chatas, your servants who are being hit, and the sinners, they're all amecha. They're all your nation, and you shouldn't let that go on. I'm not clear why. Maybe because it would cause, when it's that much, it would cause infighting. It's not good for business. I don't know. That's how he translates the pasuk. And then, so the Klai Yisrael eventually go and complain. You know, Paro responds, well, you're just lazy. So then Klai Yisrael complains to Moshe, and Moshe complains, so to speak, to Hashem. And Hashem says, you'll see that Paro is going to want to send you out. V'yad chazaka yagarshim me'artzo. He will kick you out with a strong hand. What does that mean? So the Sforno says, just like Paro spread you all out all over Mitzrayim, maybe to go collect the straw, just like he spread you, you're everywhere now, he's going to make sure there's not one left. When time comes to send you and the Gula comes, they're going to send you out B'yad Chazaka, there won't be one Jew left in Mitzrayim. So you'll see. That's the Yad Chazaka Gar Shem Yatzon. Just like they're all spread out all over the place, he's going to make sure they all leave. Okay.